The restructuring of Jewish religious expression after the destruction in many ways can be defined as a sort of spiritualizing process in which rabbis were the main motivators. Jewish religious expression, as I said, was decentralized. It no longer requires geography. It no longer requires one temple on one mountain in one city. You can do it anywhere. The exclusivity of the temple was replaced by the legitimacy of synagogues that could now function as minor sanctuaries. And it's interesting because ultimately Jews would talk about synagogues as assuming a status of sacred space. And in many ways, the synagogue does become a new expression of what was once a temple. The rabbinic period introduced a new system of daily public prayer. And this is interesting. We know that synagogues existed even before the destruction of the temple. But when we examine what went on in their midst, we find that primarily the Torah was read. It was probably expounded as well. A sermon was delivered. The numerous stories about Jesus or about Paul in the New Testament make that obvious. And we have other sources that describe this type of activity, but not prayer. And one of the main questions is, when did prayer begin? As a systematic, daily Jewish expression of worship. Most probably only in this post-temple period. The priests lost their major power base, the temple. And the rabbis would slowly assume a more central position within the community. We must remember, priests claim, their claim to authority is by virtue of lineage. They were born into the priesthood. A rabbi's authority was earned through learning and individual charisma. This is very interesting because later on in the rabbinic period, we will find rabbis asking themselves, why don't we have sons that can take over for us? And it's the type of question that we would expect from a priest and not from a rabbi. And this is an interesting sociological phenomena where charismatic leadership or merit-oriented leadership ultimately evolves into a standardized, almost dynastic type of leadership. But this would happen much, much later in Jewish history. The rabbis still realized that they had something new to offer and were very, very careful not to fall into the rut of priesthood and this idea of a hereditary access to leadership. But what is more important about rabbis is they are mobile. They can attract disciples anywhere. They can establish local centers of learning throughout Judea proper, but ultimately throughout the Jewish diaspora. And in particular, where there was a high concentration of Jews in the land of Babylonia. We must constantly remember that Jews remained in Babylonia from the destruction of the first temple when they were brought in the year 586 and even prior to that as captives to Babylonia. And one almost senses that as long as the second temple stood, Jews in Babylonia, like it or not, were really on the periphery. They were on the fringes. They could send money to Jerusalem. They could direct prayers to Jerusalem. They could come on pilgrimage. But they really did not have an independent existence in many aspects of their religious life because their religious life was sort of related to another country and to another city. But once you refashion Judaism on intellectual, spiritual, mobile context, Jews of Babylonia could now thrive. Rabbis will make their way to Babylonia, and the study of Torah now becomes a major phenomenon, not only within the land of Judea, but in Babylonia as well. And here again, I must reiterate, Rabbinic Judaism stressed that the study of Torah is done not merely to know what God wants. You don't read the Bible to know how to, or only to know how to behave. You read and study the Bible as a form of devotion, of religious devotion. And I could almost venture to say that it was at this stage of the history of Judaism, meaning the first centuries of the Common Era, where education, this tremendous Jewish stress on learning that might be even familiar to many of us today, I think this is really where it takes off. This idea of people devoting themselves, right, to a learning of the text. For some people, it would become a career. For others, it's a way of expressing some sort of religious devotion.